This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Spring to all you happy heathens out there. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. The atheist of the airwaves, I've been called. And Annie Laurie is also an atheist of the airwaves. Not just me. We're co-hosts and we're co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which produces this show. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is the nation's largest organization of non-believers, atheists and or agnostics, and a few other things we call ourselves. We work to keep state and church separate.
As required by our Constitution.
Yeah. And we also work to educate the public about the views of those of us who are not religious, the none of the above, the 15% of Americans who are nuns.
Another friendly neighborhood atheist, by the way, is Natalie Angier. She's been on our show before. She's the Pulitzer Prize-winning science writer for the New York Times. You probably read her column every other week on Tuesday in the New York Times. She's an author, and she's a very unabashed atheist, and she had a column just this past week about memory, in part about why so many of us, myself included, have trouble remembering jokes. And it has something to do with patterns being easier to remember, and jokes break the patterns.
Do you ever tell jokes? Once in a while, maybe once every 5 years.
I have trouble remembering them, but my co-host, you, Dan, you have no trouble, which is to your great credit, and we haven't had a joke on Free Thought Radio for months, and so I understand you've got one.
Well, this is a joke in progress. I'm making it up, and maybe you can polish it up for me. I'll tell it today, and if any listeners have any improvements on it, let me know. This woman finally convinced her husband, who's an atheist, to go to church with her. After years and years, she finally said, why don't you just try it once? And the atheist husband said, okay, I'll go with you once, because he wanted to make her happy. So he went to church. It was a long, elaborate service. And afterwards, he met the pastor in the foyer after this service. And the pastor said, well, it's so nice to see you in church this morning. So are you a believer now? And the husband said, well, yes, I am. I'm a believer now. He said, you are? Well, that's great. And the husband said, yes, after sitting through your very long sermon, I now believe in eternity.
There you go. Got a little laugh track there.
How did you know that was going to be funny, Dan? You put that laugh track in.
That was real people laughing.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah, the studio's packed with them.
So today on Free Thought Radio, our guest will be Victor Stenger. He grew up Catholic. He's a scientist. And his 2007 book, God, The Failed Hypothesis, How Science Shows That God Does Not Exist, made the New York Times bestseller list.
And before we talk with Victor Stenger, we'll be talking about why we have a slogan, Beware of Dogma, and we'll also unveil a new bus slogan in a few minutes and a chance for you to chime in on a new bus sign advertising free thought, unbelief, and reason. Here's Fox TV coverage in Boise, Idaho over our Freedom From Religion Foundation's Beware of Dogma billboard, which was just posted in that capital city this month.
The billboard has spurred some heated debate over its controversial atheist message, Beware of Dogma.
The billboard posted on Fairview near Maple Grove was funded mainly by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Fox 12's Kristen Buckner joins us now live with the reason behind all this debate. Kristen.
Well, stained glass windows often line the walls of churches. But instead of glass, you'll find wood, and these windows surround a warning. Beware of dogma. Take a look.
For those of you who don't know, the humanist belief falls in line with atheism, the belief there is no God. And with the help of the national organization, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the humanists of Idaho have funded a billboard with a slogan, Beware of Dogma. Dogma, defined as settled or established opinion, belief, or principle, most often associated with biblical beliefs. The humanists say dogma is to blame for the oppression of homosexuals
and for laws against gay marriage. They hoped their sign will help to overturn legislature based on Christian beliefs to keep religion out of politics, an argument some local groups say is way out of line. And while they may not agree with the message, many locals say it's the group's constitutional right to advertise whatever beliefs they want.
In the United States of America, where we have freedom of speech, that's actually a good sign for people to read and think about why they believe the things they believe.
Right, hey, Kristen, how long did they say that billboard's going to be up?
Well, like it or not, the billboard won't be around for too long. The group signed a contract for only 2 months. Live in Boise, Kristen Buckner, Fox 12 News.
Like it or not. Well, some people like it and some don't. Did you notice that she had to explain what the word dogma meant?
She's afraid believers wouldn't know.
And they did the same thing in Arkansas. They had to explain on the TV news.
And of course, it's a pun. Beware of dogma.
I noticed that it sounded like she was reading right out of the dictionary.
Yeah, she probably went to the... She probably didn't know what it meant either, but... at least it makes a good joke. We worked with a variety of local Freedom From Religion Foundation members and free-thinking groups in Boise to find that billboard site and raise some funds. And we want to thank the Humanists of Idaho, Boise State Secular Student Alliance, and the Non-Theist Meetup and Social Idaho Atheists.
Dan is usually the one who goes on the road to speak before campus groups in particular. And Dan, actually, you just got back at the end of the week from South Dakota.
Speaking to University of South Dakota in Vermilion and to a spring Unitarian musical event on Friday night. But Annie Laurie, you also, you don't get to travel as much as I do, but you also spoke before a free thought group in... Was it Bloomington? Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah, it was one of the Secular Student Alliance groups there, and it was in March, and they wanted me to talk about why we need freedom from religion. And I started that speech just a bit facetiously. I said I could make it really short and just give them one example of the harm of religion and why we truly need freedom from religion, particularly in our laws and particularly in Brazil. And earlier this month, I'm sure many of you caught the news about the 9-year-old little girl in Brazil. The 9-year-old who was pregnant, who weighs 80 pounds, carrying twins, and it gets worse and worse.
And who was
her stepfather believed to have raped her. And obviously, however she got pregnant, it was rape. She was 9. She was in her 15th week of pregnancy by the time it was detected. And of course, this pregnancy posed a serious health risk to this little 80-pound girl. They were talking about her hips. There's no room. And so she luckily and fortunately was able to get an abortion, even in Brazil, which bans abortion. It's the most Roman Catholic country in the world. But this was over the objections of the Catholic Church, which tried to stop that abortion. And the only reason she was able to get it is there is a little leeway in the law for judges when it affects the health of the pregnant woman, usually, in this case, pregnant child. And so there's a reason why we should beware of dogma. A lawyer for the Archdiocese of Olinda, is that how you pronounce it, Dan? You were in Brazil.
In
Recife?
Recife, they say, yeah.
They say, in northeastern Brazil, said that she should have carried the twins to term. He said, it's the law of God that this tiny little girl should have carried to term the product of rape and abuse and endanger her life. So should we beware of dogma? I think so. I think case closed. And as I told those Indiana students, once more we have religious authorities placing dogma over people, over real people, over the lives of individuals. And I think that is one of the greatest threats of religion.
And I was in Brazil last year, and it is true that the Catholic Church has a lot of official power, but actually among the people, the Catholic Church is not that highly respected. A lot of people say they're Catholic, but they mix their Catholic religion with a lot of other types of religions. So the people themselves are smarter than the church.
And what's the update on that case, Dan?
Well, it's opened up a lot of eyes in Brazil. Many Brazilians were themselves outraged with Archbishop José Cardoso Sobrinho in the city of Recife. He announced that the Vatican was excommunicating the family of the local girl who had been raped and impregnated with twins by her stepfather. The church excommunicated the doctors. The Archbishop told Time magazine, they took the life of an innocent. Abortion is much more serious than killing an adult. An adult may or may not be an innocent, but an unborn child is most definitely innocent. Taking that life cannot be ignored.
A And let's hope that this notorious case does help speed up reform in Brazil. I mean, they may not be all that religious, the people, but the church holds sway, and that Brazil will soon disestablish the Roman Catholic Church and legalize abortion so that women there are not treated like disposable chattel to satisfy the fanatical whims of career celibates.
Another example of why to beware of dogma, very different. This week you may have caught that the Journal of the American Medical Association announced a study which found that the more religious terminally ill patients are, the more likely they are to seek aggressive, life-prolonging care in the week before they died. Devout patients were three times as likely as less religious patients to go on mechanical ventilators. They were less likely to do advanced care planning, to sign do not resuscitate orders, to prepare a living will, or create a healthcare proxy. The head researcher, Holly Prigerson in Boston, said, "People think that spiritual patients are more likely to say their lives are in God's hands, let what happens happen. But in fact, we know they want more aggressive care."
And this is a bit of a contradiction. And of course, the worst part of it is that if the cost of this to Medicare, so much of a third of their budget goes to the last year, and much of that is end of the life. And it's also this cost in suffering, both to the patient who's terminally ill and going to die anyway, and their families. So another reason to beware of dogma: when you encourage unrealistic thinking, this is the kind of problem that occurs.
Beware of dogma. It has a bite. Beware of dogma. It wants a fight. Beware of dogma. It will ignite a holy war by itself.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. We'll be back to announce the Freedom From Religion Foundation's newest bus slogan and a new contest to help us come up with a second bus sign slogan to take across America. Then we'll talk with best-selling atheist author and scientist Victor Stenger about why God is a failed hypothesis.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. As Mark Twain said, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." This is Free Thought Radio.
A nose is a nose is a nose. Mother, mother, tell me, mother, mother, tell me, please. Did God, who made the flowers and trees, also provide the allergies?
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. That was Dan setting to music a ditty by Yip Harburg, the great American lyricist and non-believer who wrote one of the world's best love songs, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been permitted to reprint Light Verse by Yip Harburg. It's a reprint of the book Rhymes for the Irreverent by FFRF.org.
And that poem is in the book. And now we are back. We're going to announce the Great American Bus Sign Contest.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been asked by many to expand our ongoing billboard campaign into bus signs, similar to the British campaign that's gotten so much attention. FFRF has designed some thought-provoking quotation signs going into the interior of buses. We've talked about them, quotations by Clarence Darrow, Mark Twain, Richard Dawkins, Katharine Hepburn, Butterfly McQueen, Emily Dickinson. And
by the end of the month, we will be unveiling our first exterior bus sign, and this one will say, "Sleep in on Sundays."
And it's really cute. It has kind of a Gothic King James biblical font with a bit of an illusion that it's a stained glass window, and I think it will make people laugh and will be popular in college towns or among us chronically sleep-deprived people. And by the way, that slogan was suggested by the Australian humanists, and the Australian bus company censored it. So we're going to make it happen in this country.
There are a lot of great reasons to reject religion, but face it, one of the big fringe benefits is you get to sleep in on Sundays. But we would like your help now in selecting our next exterior bus sign slogan. And with your help, the Freedom From Religion Foundation will take our educational bus signs to transit systems around the United States.
And so people can vote on some selected slogans, or they can make your own. You can make your own suggestions. And what are the slogans on the ballot?
Religion once ruled the world. It was known as the Dark Ages.
That's from a quote by Ruth Green.
The truth shall set you free from religion.
Suggested by Philip Appleman, the poet.
Science flies you to the moon. Religion flies you into buildings. By the way, this slogan was suggested by our upcoming guest on today's show, the author and scientist Victor Stenger. Or a variation of that is, religion flies planes into buildings, science flies humans to the moon. Or one of my friends, a comedian who doesn't want to be identified, he has suggested, hang out with atheists. It's more fun than hanging on a cross.
Kind of silly. And then there's also 9/11 was a faith-based initiative. And maybe you have a better idea. And so you can go to our website, you can vote, or you can make suggestions. And what's that address, Dan?
Go to ffrf.org/busballot, a single word, bus ballot.
And you can check back to see the results, or you can see what other folks are suggesting. And go to our website and look at the interior bus signs that are already up on Madison buses. And go and see what Sleep In on Sunday looks like, and it will be on Madison, Wisconsin bus signs soon.
And here's a little bit of Louis Armstrong.
Life is short, short, brother. Ain't it the truth? And there is no other. Nah, ain't it the truth? You got to shoot the works while you still got your youth. Ain't it the solid truth?
Was a guy. That's Satchmo, Louis Armstrong singing a Yip Harburg lyric. Ain't it the truth? Life is short, brother. There is no other. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Don't miss our interview coming up with scientist and best-selling atheist author Victor Stenger right after this break.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021.
This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors. Get in there, you atheist.
Speaking freely, thinking freely.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And our guest today does a lot more than just suggest intriguing bus sign slogans, which one of them we mentioned in the first half of our show.
Which was?
Religion flies planes into buildings.
No. What's it? Science flies you to the moon. Religion flies you into buildings.
Yes. Well, maybe we can get Victor to talk a little more about that. But he's also an author and a physicist, and I'm holding one of his books. One of the books I used as a resource when I wrote the book Godless. Victor Stenger's book is called God: The Failed Hypothesis: How Science Shows That God Does Not Exist. And he may talk about some other books he's working on. Victor Stenger is adjunct professor of philosophy at the University of Colorado, professor emeritus of physics and astronomy at the University of Hawaii, research fellow, Center for Inquiry, and fellow of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. Dr. Stenger has held visiting positions in the faculties of the University of Heidelberg, Oxford, a visiting researcher at Rutherford Laboratory in England, the National Nuclear Physics Lab in Frascati, Italy, and the University of Florence. His career spanned the period of great progress in elementary particle physics that ultimately led to the current standard model. He participated in experiments that helped establish the properties of strange particles, quarks, gluons, and neutrinos. He also helped pioneer the emerging fields of very high-energy gamma ray and neutrino astronomy. In his last project before retiring, Dr. Stenger collaborated on the underground experiment in Japan that in 1998 showed for the first time that the neutrino has mass. The Japanese leader of this experiment shared the 2002 Nobel Prize for this work. In addition to teaching, he's the author of a lot of books, and maybe we'll talk about some of those, but his most recently of interest to this show is God: The Failed Hypothesis, How Science Shows That God Does Not Exist. And this book made the New York Times bestseller list in 2007. He's on the phone with us now from Colorado. Welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Well, what a pleasure to be here. I really enjoy listening to your show regularly.
Well, thank you. Now, you mentioned a bus line slogan for us, and you know the British had one that said God probably does not exist. And a lot of atheist writers are arguing for the likelihood or probability of God's non-existence, but you seem to go a step further. You seem to say that science shows us that God is a failed hypothesis.
I mean, absolutely. I even have fights with my publisher when they keep changing the blurbs to say that I show there's no evidence for God. I mean, 1,000 people have shown there's no evidence for God. What I argue is that if there's evidence against God, that you can turn the argument around.
So you can be more than just probably sure.
People usually will say, they quote Carl Sagan, although he probably wasn't the only one who said it, that the absence of evidence is not evidence for absence. But I claim absence of evidence can be evidence for absence when the evidence should be there. You know, I lived near Rocky Mountain National Park, and if somebody said there were elephants in Rocky Mountain National Park and you looked and you didn't see any, I think that would be a pretty good case for just saying they don't exist in Rocky Mountain National Park. We would surely have discovered the evidence for them by now.
Yeah, because if something truly does not exist, then what would be the evidence of its absence, if not just a simple absence of evidence?
Well, it's obviously not everything that doesn't exist. I guess the point I would make is quite, to cut the story short, is quite simple. There are many types of gods that might exist that we can't rule out just by scientific means. But the God that most people worship, the God, the Judeo-Christian Islamic God, is a God that plays such an important role in the universe that I claim he should have been detected by now. But a deist God or some God that just is out there but doesn't ever do anything is obviously a God we wouldn't be able to detect.
Yeah, but maybe God is now found in the mass of the neutrino. It used to be thought the neutrino had no mass, so what do you say about that?
Unlikely.
You want a mass? Are you talking about Catholic masses?
I wouldn't even know where to begin to find God in a neutrino.
But there's so many of them, right? If that teeny little mass all adds up to something, maybe that's...
You're stretching it, Dan.
No, but you see, God is not supposed to be material, okay? So
that's right.
And the neutrino is mass, is material, so...
Now you have
that would be a natural God. That wouldn't be the supernatural God that most people are looking for.
Some of your other books, we didn't read all the titles, but you've written Not by Design, The Origin of the Universe. You've written Has Science Found God, The Latest Results in the Search for Purpose in the Universe, The Comprehensible Cosmos, Where Did the Laws of Physics Come From? For the layperson listening, can you give us a kind of primer on this?
Which one?
I guess on Not by Design, The Origin of the Universe.
Well, the whole series, my writing started with Not by Design, but that was back in 1988, and I've since then updated the arguments in a number of books. I started out actually writing more on skeptical business. My second book, for example, was Physics and Psychics. It was debunking parapsychology from a physicist's standpoint. And then I wrote The Unconscious Quantum, which was intended to debunk a lot of the claims that people were making that I call quantum mysticism. And that's actually, I have followed up that with my the next book that's coming out called Quantum Gods, which should be out in April. I have expanded on that particular topic because it's still around. In recent years, we've had these very popular films, What the Bleep Do We Know and The Secret, and still Deepak Chopra and others who were going around promoting what they call quantum healing, which is based, and all these are based on the idea, misinterpretation of quantum mechanics, that we make our own reality. We basically... in the case of The Secret, the claim is that you can be whatever you want to be. You can be rich. You can be beautiful. You can live forever.
Hmm.
All you have to do is want it.
Can I win the world chess championship?
You want it. And the poor people in the Holocaust, they didn't want to live, and so they were murdered. That's the basic idea, that the reality is all in their heads anyway.
Well, so if some believer came up to you on the street and said, Dr. Sanger, you're a scientist. I still don't know where the universe began. Darwin may have told us about the origins of human life, but don't we still have mysteries unknown about
the Big Bang and so on?
What would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them that we have any number of ways that we can imagine the universe occurring from nothing. In fact, they have scenarios worked out mathematically. In my book, The Comprehensible Cosmos, I worked out one of them mathematically. I published that also in Philo magazine, a philosophical magazine. And I'm not saying that's the way the universe actually came about, but you can. What I'm saying is you can use well-established physics and cosmology to produce scenarios. In this particular scenario, it was originally due to Stephen Hawking and James Harrell. It's about 20 years old now, the proposal. The universe that we live in tunneled from an earlier universe that always existed. So that's something you can actually work out mathematically.
And if the natural, universe always existed, why is that worse of a problem than if this God, who is even more incredible, always existed? We may as well go with science rather than superstition.
Sure, there's no reason. You see, one of the common arguments you hear from theists, such as William Lane Craig, he's used this argument any number of times now. When I debated him in 2003, he was in Hawaii. He was using it, and it's that the Big Bang shows the universe had a beginning, and that's simply not true. Because even though the Big Bang had a beginning, there's no reason why that Big Bang couldn't have come from an earlier universe, and probably did. There's no reason for time, in other words, to have begun with the Big Bang, and that's the claim that they would like to make, and that's just false.
We are talking with scientist and best-selling author, author of the book God, the Failed Hypothesis, Victor Stanger. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio, and we'll be right back after this brief break to finish our conversation.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. It ain't necessarily so.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Geller. And Free Thought Radio is back with our guest, Victor J. Stanger.
And I looked at your bio and I noticed that you had been raised Catholic. Briefly, when did you leave that institution?
Oh, I think when I was a teenager, I began to have my doubts. I got interested in science. That always is a good step in that direction. I started reading about evolution, and even though the church accepts evolution, most of the people around me couldn't believe it, that was the case. And so I drifted away, although I didn't become the really active atheist until really just about the last 10 or 15 years.
But when you were younger, did you actually believe in transubstantiation?
Sure. Well, you believe whatever you're told when you're a kid.
But it still tasted like bread, didn't it, in your mouth?
Right. Well, you know, like I tell people that the Catholic Church is trying to modernize and produce a new communion wafer that's a third less...
calories?
Fewer calories and so on. They call it, I can't believe it's not Jesus.
That's good.
That's cute.
Dan, you should have had a laugh track there, but... Well, I notice also that you say in your book that religion, the world is actually worse off now as a result. Not just that religion is untrue, but the world is worse off as a result of religious faith. And what do you mean by that?
Well, basically, I think one of the problems that we have is people think that... faith is something to be admired. A person of faith is supposed to be an admirable person, when in fact, faith means when you believe it's something that they have no evidence for. And when that kind of attitude is present, it means that you're not making decisions, whether it's at a political level or at a personal level, you're not making decisions about your life, about the world, based on good, rational, reasonable evaluation of the evidence, but on preconceived ideas that you have no basis for.
Well, that's what's behind that bus slogan that you suggested for our bus slogan campaign.
Well, it was at Richard Dawkins' website, and they've put up a facsimile of it. You want to say what that slogan is again?
Yeah, it was science flies us to the moon, religion flies us into buildings.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of response from that. I don't know how many people have written to me, and they say, well, they really loved that. Richard thought it was the best one that had been suggested so far.
But now when I tried it out on our local bus company, they said, uh-oh, we don't think they're going to put it up. So we'll see. You know, we have this contest, and if it wins, we will try.
Okay.
We'll keep you posted.
I hope so. Hope you do.
And you can even vote.
Now, we announced in the first half of the show, it's ffrf.org/bus ballot. Bus ballot. Yeah, you can go there and vote for yourself if you want. And we also, if any listeners or members of our group want to suggest their own slogan, there's a place to do that as well.
Now, Dr. Stanger, you have a new book in the works that you were telling us about during the break that sounded exciting.
Yes, I mentioned Quantum Gods, which should be out in April. And I've actually already finished another book and sent the manuscript off. And this is called The New Atheists, Standing Up for Science and Reason. And in this book, I talk about the other books that had come out about the same time as mine. It started with Sam Harris's End of Faith, came out in 2004. And then he had another book, Letter to a Christian Nation. Then there was Richard Dawkins'
The God Delusion.
God Delusion, that was 51 weeks or something like that on the New York Times list. And I came out with my book, and fortunately I was able to take advantage of the wave and at least briefly get on the list, on the New York Times list. And then, of course, Daniel Dennett. And then finally, Christopher Hitchens with God Is Not Great. So I talk about these authors. I talk about the reaction that the Christians especially, had to these books. And you can imagine the dozens of books that are actually out there now trying to respond to that. And then I try to go a little bit further than those authors and myself did in the first round, try to kind of develop a philosophy of new atheism and show why it is different from what has been the conventional atheism up until the present, mainly in regard to taking a harder line against religion. We all, not myself particularly, but especially Dawkins and Hitchens and Harris, been criticized for being too polemical and so on, and that and a lot of atheists have said, no, that's not the right approach we should be taking. We should be trying to cooperate with the more moderate believers, especially if we want to keep them on our side, supporting science funding.
So the new atheism, it's new not in the concept, but it's new in its approach.
Yes.
Well,
a harder line, basically, saying that, look, faith is folly. Faith is bad.
Well, don't
faith
you think?
Faith is not something to respect. And we should be fighting against it because of its negative influence on the world.
And don't you think a lot of that is because of, 9/11? I mean, that if you needed a lesson.
That was the trigger. That was certainly the trigger was 9/11. That's what got Harris started. And, you know, he was criticized a lot for blaming Islam, blaming religion for 9/11. There were some people like Noam Chomsky, for example, who were saying, oh, no, it was these people were downtrodden and so on. And so I picked up some of the stuff from some recent books that have have made a good case that indeed it was. You could really blame 9/11 on Islam.
Well,
but it wasn't Islam
you.
That flew that plane into the, those planes into those buildings.
It certainly was. And thank you so much, Victor Stanger, for joining us today. Your current book is God, the Failed Hypothesis, and we appreciated you coming on the show.
Well, thank you very much.
If you want to hear this show online, you can go to ffrf.org/radio. Sounds just as good the second time around. Or you can sign up for a podcast there or
iTunes.
Through iTunes.
And join FFRF at ffrf.org or ask for a sample of our paper Free Thought Today. Don't forget to vote on the new Freethinking bus sign at ffrf.org/bus ballot. Thanks to our guest, Victor Stanger, and thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.